Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time we're going into the forests of Sweden, and you might be surprised to hear we're looking at clear cuts.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're thinking. Aren't clear cuts like bad for the environment?
Right.
Well, it turns out they might actually be like havens for some very special creatures, endangered burnet moths.
Wow.
We're diving into a 2020 paper from the Journal of Insect Conservation to unpack this and see what it means for conservation efforts.
It's fascinating, isn't it? We often think of clear cuts as these disruptive forces that wipe out biodiversity.
Yeah.
But this research shows that they can actually create the perfect conditions for certain species to thrive.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty,
Right.
can you just paint a picture for us of these burnet
Oh,
moths?
sure.
What makes them so unique and why are they struggling in Sweden?
So burnet moths are these vibrant day-flying moths, kind of a burst of color against the green backdrop of a forest. They need these open, sunny spaces to thrive, which is becoming harder to find as their habitats shrink. Five out of Sweden's six burnet moth species are red-listed, meaning they're facing a real threat of extinction. And here's where it gets interesting. Their decline is linked to the loss of these open, sunny areas, but not for the reasons you might expect.
I'm intrigued. I'm guessing it has something to do with the way these moths depend on specific plants, right?
Exactly. Burnet moth caterpillars are particularly picky eaters. They need plants from the Fabaceae family, things like clover and vetches, to survive as these plants disappear. So do the moths. And you might think that traditional grasslands would be the ideal spots for these plants to flourish. But it seems those former meadows that were converted to forests and then clear-cut are actually playing a critical role.
Wait, so let me get this straight. Areas that used to be meadows, then became forests, are now, after being clear-cut, better for these moths than actual meadows.
Yeah,
That's kind of a twist.
it is.
What's going on there?
That's the million-dollar question. The researchers found significantly higher numbers of burnet moths in clear cuts located on former meadowland. Like the historical land use is somehow imprinted on these areas even after they've been forested and then cleared.
So these clear cuts are almost like echoes of the past.
Right.
It makes you wonder what other hidden connections we're missing when we look at a landscape.
Yeah.
It's not just about what's there now, but what was there before, too.
Absolutely. And this study also looked at 48 clear cuts across southern Sweden. And they were very deliberate in choosing sites with different ages, sizes, and land use histories. They wanted to see how all those factors played into moth abundance.
It sounds like they were trying to piece together a complex puzzle with each clear cut being a different piece.
Yeah.
So what do those pieces reveal about the link between clear cuts and burnet moths?
Right.
Did the moths just use the clear cuts as a temporary stop, or were they actually like settling down and making a life there?
Well, you'd think that for these moths, clear cuts would be like temporary rest stops on a long road trip. They might pop in for a quick meal and then move on to more suitable habitats.
Quick bite to eat and then back on the road.
But that's not what they found. The abundance of those crucial host plants was the most important factor in determining how many moths were present, even more so than the clear cut's proximity to grasslands. It seems the moths are actually completing their entire life cycle within these clear cuts,
Really?
especially those located on former meadows.
Wow, that's incredible. They're not just passing through, they're putting down roots, so to speak.
Right.
That completely changes how we think about these supposedly temporary habitats.
Exactly. And it has some pretty big implications for how we manage forests, especially if we want to help these endangered moths recover.
I bet. So it's not as simple as saying all clear cuts are good for burnet moths, right?
You're right. It's more nuanced than that. Remember, those clear cuts are eventually going to grow back into forests, and that closed canopy isn't ideal for the moths. But what's exciting is that this study suggests some practical strategies that could make a real difference for the moths, and maybe even other species that benefit from these open habitats.
Okay, let's dive into those strategies. What did the researchers recommend?
So they found that clear cuts with deciduous trees tended to support more burnet moths. Deciduous trees, unlike conifers, allow more sunlight to reach the forest floor, creating those sun-drenched patches that burnet moths and their host plants love.
So it's not just about having open space.
Right.
It's about having the right kind of open space. A
Exactly.
clear cut filled with towering conifers wouldn't be nearly as beneficial.
Exactly. It's all about creating those microhabitats that mimic the conditions these moths evolve to thrive in. The study also suggested that planting trees further apart could help. By delaying canopy closure, you're essentially extending the lifespan of that valuable open habitat.
It's like hitting the pause button on forest succession.
Yeah.
Giving the moths more time to flourish.
Precisely. They even proposed leaving some areas within the clear cut for free development.
Oh, okay.
Essentially letting nature take its course and create a mosaic of different habitats.
Mm.
You could end up with a mix of glades, shrubs, and young trees.
Yeah.
A veritable buffet for burnet moths.
It's like designing a forest with burnet moths in mind, creating these pockets of ideal habitat within a larger landscape. I'm curious, though, about those clear cuts on former meadowland.
Right.
We talked about how they seem to be particularly beneficial.
Yeah.
But how long will that historical advantage last?
That's a crucial question, and one that the study didn't have a definitive answer for. It's possible that over time, as those clear cuts are replanted and managed, they might lose some of the qualities that make them so attractive to burnet moths.
So we might be seeing a temporary resurgence, a glimpse of what these landscapes were once capable of supporting.
Yeah.
But it's not guaranteed to last forever.
It really highlights the need to think about forest management from a long-term perspective.
Yeah.
We can't just focus on the next harvest cycle. We need to consider the legacy we're leaving for future generations of moths and for all the species that depend on these complex ecosystems.
It's a powerful reminder that our actions have ripple effects that extend far beyond our immediate intentions. Speaking of actions, this study relied on a really interesting technique to track these moths, pheromone traps.
Mm.
Can you explain how those work and why they were so important for this research?
Pheromone traps are incredibly clever tools for insect research. They essentially exploit the moth's own communication system. Scientists have identified the specific pheromones or scents that female burnet moths release to attract males.
Okay.
By placing traps baited with these pheromones, researchers can lure in male moths and get a much more accurate count of the population than they could through traditional visual surveys.
So instead of trying to spot these tiny moths flitting through the forest,
they're using the moth's own biology to bring the moths to them.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the results were quite dramatic. The pheromone traps caught 100 times more moths than the traditional transect walks, which involve walking along a set path and visually counting moths.
100 times.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
It is.
It makes you wonder what we've been missing by not using this technique more widely.
It's a game changer for insect conservation. It allows us to track rare or elusive species with much greater precision and efficiency. And it's not just about counting them.
Right.
Pheromone traps can also help us understand their movements, their mating patterns, and even their responses to different environmental conditions.
It's like opening a window into their secret world, all thanks to these tiny scent molecules. Earlier, you mentioned that the three different burnet moth species studied responded to the clear-cut habitats in unique ways.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah.
It seems counterintuitive that such closely related species would have such different strategies for navigating the same environment.
You're right. It is intriguing. The study found subtle but significant differences in how each species utilized the clear cuts. For instance, Zygaena ostridensis seemed to be more comfortable in the clear cuts, even if those clear cuts were isolated from larger grassland areas. It appeared to be less reliant on those traditional grasslands as a source of habitat.
So Zygaena ostridensis was more of a pioneer, willing to venture out into those newly opened spaces and make a home for itself.
Exactly. And the researchers speculate that this might be linked to the distribution of its host plants.
Okay.
They found that the plants favored by Zygaena ostridensis caterpillars were more common in those isolated clearcuts, giving them a ready food source, even when far from those traditional meadow habitats.
That makes sense. What about the other two species? Were they more tied to those larger grasslands?
Zygaena vitiae appeared to be the most sensitive to connectivity. In other words, it did better when the clearcut was relatively close to a larger patch of grassland. It suggests that Zygaena vitiae might be using those grasslands as a sort of home base, venturing out into the clear cuts to forage and reproduce, but always returning to that more established habitat.
Interesting. So different species, different strategies for navigating this fragmented landscape.
It's a reminder that even within a group of closely related animals,
yeah,
you can have a lot of variation in how they interact with their environment.
Yeah.
And that complexity is something we need to consider when we're developing conservation plans. A one-size-fits-all approach isn't going to work.
Speaking of conservation plans, we've talked a lot about how pheromone traps can help us track and understand insect populations. But are there other potential applications for these pheromones in conservation efforts?
Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. Wow. Researchers are exploring some really innovative applications for pheromones in conservation, particularly when it comes to managing pest species. Imagine being able to disrupt the mating of an invasive insect, preventing it from spreading and causing further damage to an ecosystem.
That sounds incredibly useful, especially if we're trying to avoid using broad-spectrum pesticides that can harm beneficial insects along with the pests.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about precision and targeting our interventions in a way that minimizes unintended consequences. And pheromones offer that potential. Instead of blanketing an area with chemicals, you could use pheromone traps to lure pests into specific areas or even disrupt their mating behaviors, effectively controlling their populations without harming other species.
That's a much more elegant solution, working with nature's own systems rather than against them. It makes you realize how much potential there is in understanding these intricate ecological relationships.
It's a fascinating field, and one that's rapidly evolving as scientists continue to unlock the secrets of insect communication.
So we've covered a lot of ground today, from the surprising role of clear cuts in supporting endangered burnet moths to the innovative potential of pheromone traps in conservation.
Mm.
But stepping back for a moment, what would you say are the key takeaways for our listener who might not be a scientist or a forestry expert, but is interested in understanding the broader implications of this research?
I think there are a few key points that everyone can relate to. First, it's a reminder that nature is full of surprises.
Yeah.
We tend to categorize things as good or bad, beneficial or harmful.
Right.
But the reality is often much more complex.
Like those clear cuts, which we often associate with habitat destruction, turning out to be vital spaces for certain species.
Precisely. It challenges us to question our assumptions and to appreciate the interconnectedness of ecosystems.
Mm.
Second, I think this research underscores the importance of considering the historical context of a landscape.
Mm.
Land use decisions made decades or even centuries ago can have a lasting impact on the species that live there today.
It's like those echoes of the past we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
The ghost of those former meadows still influencing the distribution of these moths.
No, it's a reminder that our actions have consequences that ripple through time, shaping the world for generations to come.
So we need to be open to surprises, embrace complexity, and acknowledge that our relationship with nature is a long-term commitment, not just a fleeting interaction. Any final thoughts for our listener before we wrap up our deep dive?
I'd encourage everyone to learn more about the fascinating world of insects. They might be small, but they play an absolutely crucial role in our ecosystems. Even simple actions like planting native flowers in your garden to provide food and habitat, or supporting organizations working to protect insect diversity, can make a difference.
It's a reminder that we're all part of this intricate web of life, and even the smallest creatures can have profound impact. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of burnet moths, clear cuts, and the enduring legacy of our choices. Until next time, I